I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Acton Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnham. Accept no sandwich.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Welcome to a sparse den for the visit of Reading this Tuesday night. The players are actually entering the pitch at the moment. You can hear Let Them Come playing. In amongst the sparseness of the crowd, though, just like when you go on holiday and you set yourself down on a nice sun bed, one comes along, sits right next to you. And tonight, that person is Mr. Neil Andrews. Welcome to the show, Neil.
I didn't want you to be alone, Nick.
I don't want me to be alone. Your Millwall team tonight, dear listener, in goal, Bart Bielkowski. I'm not sure what formation we're going to take at the moment, but we have Jake Cooper, Sean Hutchinson, and Murray Wallace. In midfield, we have Billy Mitchell and Jules Saville. Up front, we have Smith and Afobe. Ryan Leonard, I'm guessing, is he on the right? I'm asking you, I don't know. And then Jed Wallace up front. If that doesn't confuse you, nothing, but we'll wait and see whether it is indeed a 4-4-2, or 5-3-2, or 3-5-2, or any other variation thereof, dear listeners.
As long as it's not the classic Scotland, 0-4-5-6, whatever it was.
Neil and I just cooking up a fabulous show for you, dear listeners. The history of the North American Soccer League, so tune in for that when it comes. There we go then, Millwall attacking the away in the first half, dear listeners. Reading in all yellow, the Lions in the familiar blue and white. Long ball falls towards Matt Smith. I'm guessing it's going to be like that Simpsons episode, bombardment, I'm guessing. It's not going to be a big crowd, listeners. No matter what you see reported, it's very sparse. Coldblow Lane end and opposite in the Dockers stand, hard to tell.
Three empty rows in front of us.
Empty seats all around us. I was listening to the Neil Harris podcast, the Wall Talk, on the way over. I've only got about 20 minutes into it because it's actually quite a quick drive over tonight. Very good. I recommend it. If you haven't heard it, do tune in. Smith. That was a free kick that was well worked, I think, there by Jules Saville, Neil.
Yeah.
Professionally done. He went into a 50-50 challenge and then fell backwards, making with the old head shot. He's all right, though.
Actually, I think it was a foul, to be fair.
Free kick for us. I'd say central, I'd say about 30 yards out. And for the older listeners, this is Daniel Passarella territory from 1978.
Wow, there's a reference.
There's a World Cup name check.
Beckham said Harry Hand.
Jed Wallace territory, as it is, dear listeners. Coming about 3.5 minutes.
He'll miss.
Chance to get a shot on goal at least, which would be more than we saw on Saturday up there at the Gal Farm, John Smith Stadium, whatever it's called. Be nice to see something a bit more attacking tonight. Here it goes. Jed's on target. S punched round. Nicely done. On target, right side, punched round for the corner.
Keeper made a meal of it. Yeah.
He made a meal of it, dear listeners. We speak on the day that Sepp Blatter and Michel Platini have been accused of fraud in the Swiss courts, dear listeners. And now I've got images of World Cup stars from the 78 and 82 tournaments flashing through my mind. Platini, obviously, in the 82 for French side.
Who can forget David Neary?
David Neary. And I've got Dominic Rostow and his long haircut. Also in my head. I don't know why I'm going on about these exotic foreign players.
Hector Champataz.
Yeah, another one. Kubias. Teofilio Kubias. I know I'm laughing. England didn't qualify for the 78 tournament, of course. I think we went out to the Italians, if memory serves, in that pre-tournament.
England went out for not scoring enough goals against Finland. And
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Ah, the reminiscences, dear listeners. 5:56 on the stadium clock. Reading playing the ball around in defence. Mill pressing them high. Nothing much happening. Danny McNamara is on the bench tonight, listeners. There was a very strange comment from Gary Rowett in the news at Den, on the News at Den website, about how he can't expect to start every game. I don't know what lies behind that. He wasn't in the squad at all Saturday. There's a ball across the face of the penalty area. It's Jed now on the right side. He cuts in. Will he have a go? Ball's chipped into the danger zone towards Bennett, but the goalkeeper takes. It's nothing personal, Gary Rowett said, which always makes me think it is personal when you say that. But there we are. I've got at the wrong end of the stick. This is Jed on the right side. Shot to Bennett Afobe. Puts it into orbit. Right side across from Jed to Bennett Afobe. Touchdown. Field goal. 12 minute. Reading have barely been out their own half since the game kicked off. They do have some possession at the moment, the halfway. They keep going backwards rather than forwards, but so far they haven't threatened anything. The Lions have looked more lively in the opening 12 and a half minutes. Which is a welcome sight after the tedium of Saturday. Scott Malone has had another peroxide blonde bleach job done, listeners. Keep you up to date with his haircut. Once more into the bleach. There's rather a nice Scottish-style Mill flag opposite us. No, they're celebrating our Caledonian roots, I think. It's got a Scottish shawl tie with a Mill line in the centre. Mill legend, I can't see the name. Apologies for that, whoever's flag that is. It's a really nice flag, though, from distance. Do let us know who that's memorialising, because it's a nice flag, I like it. Halfway through the first half, it's not been exactly a rip-roarer so far. Mill have shown more intent, so far at least. Reading doing the old hold the ball and cannily wait for the break, the gap in the defence to appear. Routine. Been driven backwards. Haven't actually made any dangerous moves as yet, touch wood. Lucky Heather, rabbit's foot and all that kind of stuff.
Rabbits.
What happened to Romney ladies selling your Lucky Heather at railway stations? You don't get that anymore, do you? Or people selling your ultra right or ultra left wing reading material at railway stations, they don't seem to get it anymore, I don't know. Things from the past.
Morning star, morning love.
Used to be a bloke at New Cross, always selling the news line. Go get the news line, get the news line, news line. And some Trotskyite organ of some sort. You can tell the game's drifting, listeners, as my mind wanders over New Cross Station, 1975. 30 minutes looms. A lot of possession for Reading so far. Mill have looked brighter when they've had the ball, but we haven't had nor much of the football in recent minutes. Poor game so far, dear listeners. 34 minutes. Reading just punted the ball forwards aimlessly. Millwall have not been hugely better, marginally, so I'd say. But we just don't get enough or keep possession of the ball well enough at the moment. Nicely done, Millwall. Gives Millwall a chance to break now. Billy Mitch, he's surrounded by yellow shirts, unfortunately. And Savile runs into trouble. As you'll gather, not much love for that move. This is now the 10. 48 on the right side, ball into the middle. I thought for one moment they've got to put it in their own net. Still live play in from the left. That's cleared by Savile. Mill dodged the slight bullet there. There was a moment where I thought we were going to put it into our own net. Stayed out, thankfully. But Reading now do a nice little move down the left. This is the 14. defence looks a bit at sixes and sevens, Neil, don't you think?
Shocking passage of play.
Wasn't great. And Jed gets himself into a pickle down by the right side of corner flag, gives possession back to Reading when he should have cleared. This is now the 28, the 10. Will he have a go from distance? He's done a little, I thought he's going to work that one through. Ryan Leonard just a little bit sluggish. We're all looking at sixes and sevens in defence, dear listeners. We look like we're a group of men have never met each other before at the moment. That's been hoofed out of play. Reading fans beat on to our left were shouting for a penalty. I don't think it was.
Can't blame Rowan for that shooting
pass. Well, that's basic breakdown in defensive skills. I mean, what the formation he sends them out, you can only ask them to use the skills they're paid to be good at, you know. That was just
powerful players not playing in the ball.
I think it's 39 minutes. Mill need to get their heads together. Mill Christmas party, buffet and DJ. Direct from Ibiza.
What's worse, that
one? I thought he missed. There was a moment where Bart went to kick it on as the ball was coming back to him, and you just had this vision of him missing it and going straight into the goal. Sitting on the bench, we have Jules Long, Danny Mack, and Bradshaw, Malone, Ojo, Pierce is always on the bench. He must get some kind of bonus for being in the squad. And Mason Bennett. I guess you could bring on Ojo in the second half.
He gets a bonus if we win.
He must have some role at the club. I'm not sure what it is, dear listeners, but there he is. No Conor Mahoney, who might have some creativity to unlock a stale game, but that's a debate we've done to death over the podcasts. Reading on the left side of the penalty, we're into the overtime. Ball shot across the face of the goal from the 14. 1 minute. I am torn, dear listeners, because in terms of league position, you know, we're not doing too badly, really. 12th position. There you go, the jury expresses its verdict. There we go. I was just going to say something really succinct, but I think that summed it up. We'll be back after these messages. Sweet Home Alabama. The sounds of the Deep South to cheer me up.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Team to come out for the second. Looks like Malone's on down there. Did you say Bennett is out there as well?
Smith and Tiefenbell.
Second hour of fire and brimstone needed to send these fans home. They've come out on a fairly cold night, it's got to be said. There's a lot of things you could be doing rather than sitting here, and
there is.
Isn't there? And, you know, if Gary Rowett doesn't understand that, well, he's in the wrong business, because, you know, you don't have to go to football. Both teams lined up, we'll be underway any moment now. Away we go, Reading attacking the away end. Ryan's attacking the Coldwell Lane in accordance with English law and customs since the time of the Venerable Bede. I'm going to do a podcast sometime on the world of football nicknames, and I noticed that Gary Rowett, one of his more, I find it quite irritating, listeners, but he does love a nickname, and I've noticed he referred to Evo, which turned out to be George Evans, and that isn't a long name. You don't really need a nickname when your name is Evans. Smudger instead of Smith, when Smith is a perfectly good name, fine old name, you know, you don't need to nickname people, Gary.
Well, I was at school, my nickname is Andersons.
I would find it annoying. I would fall out with him if I worked for Gary Rowett, I think, for that alone. It's almost 47 minutes, Reading pressing forwards here. If they go a goal up, this place will not react well to it. That's cleared after a fashion by Jake Cooper. Malone finds Mason Bennett now in the middle. Ball left, this is Jed. He's got ball through, trying to find Bennett, a Fobe. That was just cut out by the Reading defence. Ball 1-2 move, breaks down midfield. Mason Bennett does well to win the ball back though. Nice work, he should be drawing a free kick there, but he doesn't get it. Crowd trying to get behind the Lions, dear listeners. Urge them on. Gary Rowett spoke of the chaos, Mill thriving in chaos against Stoke in that now legendary period after the start of the second half where we looked like a dangerous team. I'm hoping that won't be the only time this season that we can say that. Tackles flying in out there. Jed's gone down. Gingerly getting back to his feet. Poor kick out by Bart Bielkowski there. Just makes halfway inside the middle half. Murray Wallace does do the clean-up work over there. That was an inch-perfect pass under pressure by Benny Mitch. Thank God it worked because it was close. Long ball hopelessly wide of the mark. Ryan Leonard surging down the right side there. And Mill look a little bit more energetic in the second half, urged on by the crowd. Ball's into the near post, goalkeeper bats it away, dear listeners. Mill keep the ball. Murray Wallace, 53, Cardinals 54 minutes. Mill look more threatening in the second half. Great to see it. Ball's into the box. Shots on target from Jules Saville, but into the ground, up and high. Goalkeeper takes. Nice passage of play, Neil. That's more like it. More like it. Comes Sean Hutchinson on the rights. Billy Mitchell now in the middle. Ticking towards 60 minutes. Jed's overlapping on the right. Ryan Leonard balled it into the box. That's... Oh! Over the top. Did that come off the bar? I think it came off the woodwork. The cross in from the right, I think it was a cross, seemed to hit either the bar or the upright. This is Billy Mitchell. This is Jed now from distance. Can he shot wide right, 60 minutes. More action, that's the way to do it, dear listeners. Much better second half from Millwall. Reading very much under siege in the second half, dear listeners. Reading on the break, 69 minutes, coming down the left side. We do have defenders back, the 10's cut inside, the shot is deflected and Bart collects. They're all back on the attack now. This is reminiscent of the old days when we were an attacking side, dear listeners. It's like being back under the pomp of Neil Harris in his time, when we looked dangerous. It's nice, wonderful, good to see. 70 minutes, Mills searching for a goal. It's Jake Cooper now, space in front of him. Wall of yellow shirts in front of Millwall as we come forward. There's a nice little move by Jody Fine Shirt. Ryan Leonard in front of goal. More direct, much more energetic approach in the second half. Wonderful to see it, and it pays off. Nice move. Nice ball in from the right side. Bennett Gafobi slots home. Nicely unpicked the defence there with Jed and Ryan Leonard. And there's Bennett Gafobi sniffing inside the box. Lovely stuff. Neil hasn't seen us winning how many years now, Neil?
38?
maybe now. Fingers crossed.
I should have shot into the middle of the line.
Some good old-fashioned hatred being expressed to the away support as well. Nice tackle, Billy Mitchell, midfield, nicely done. Ball breaks, this is now Jed Wallace on the right side from Jules Saville. Comes all 74 minutes, ball's into the middle. Oh, just volleyed over by Scott Malone. Unlucky. Den's rocking, dear listeners. I don't want to see us change this. We've actually looked quite aggressive in the second half. It's been a much more open game and it's paid dividends with the goal. That's a world away from the display we saw in the first half. Mill just knocking the ball around in defence here at the moment. I'd want to see us press forwards. It's always where we've looked at our best and most dangerous. Oh, Millwall can see possession of danger zone just outside the D. Reading on the attack now. There's good work though by Malone and then Saville to undo that moment's flakiness. This is Millwall. Ball breaks as Mason Bennett come down the left side. 79 minutes. Finds Scott Malone. Balls into the far post. That's a volley over from Ryan Leonard. Nice move. The far posts.
2 lines. You wanted to pull it back.
Yeah. 80 minutes, dear listeners. But Lions have looked a much better prospect in the second half. Whatever becomes of the game, we've looked much more attacking. As per the Stoke game, the ball breaks now. This is Jed coming down the left side. He's got Billy Mitch surging into the middle. This is Leonard. Oh, beautiful shot, just inches wide, right from the edge of the penalty area. I'll make that the 3 minutes. The referee will add a few seconds. He was just telling Mill to get on with it. Second half performance earns a 1-0 win for the Lions, much needed, lifts a burden. Lions will be cheered off at the end of the second half, but they were booed off at the end of the first half. Such are the vagaries of football, dear listeners, but there we are, really strong second half performance. Big thank you to Neil Andrews for your input, mate, as ever.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we're waiting for the old status quo rocking all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back after these messages. There we are.
That could have been cool.
Much better second half, mate.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, first half, I thought we were abysmal. We were. We had no shape, no pattern of play, no tactical plan to deal with them. Allowed them to play out from the back, acres and acres of time. Their keeper had the freedom of Bermondsey in terms of taking the piss. But that's what happens when you play Matt Smith against a team that are going to pass it out around the back. It's not a dig at Matt Smith, it's a dig at Gary Rowett. So then, on the same side of that, Gary Rowett addressed this at half time. Now, to go five at the back at home, we've moaned about five at the back at home, but it made sense in this instant. Got no problem chopping and changing formations to damage other other teams when they come to try and play us. That's what football's about. You know, the creation and denial of space. Football's very, very easy. It's a simple game, made difficult by a number of factors. Normally not playing to the crowd at the Den, which they did in the second half, and they got a goal that was well worked, decent, what we've been crying out for months. A little bit of invention from Jed, nice run from Leonard, who still isn't a right back, and a low hit cross. That's what, our last three goals at home all been hit from low crosses. It's almost like a theme. Maybe we should do that more. But yeah, we're eighth. How the fuck are we eighth? Need a win on Saturday and keep the pressure on the top six. Fucking hell, winter is here as well, by the way. So if you didn't come tonight and you watched it on the red button, get your fucking selves down here. There must have only been about 5,000, maybe 7,000. It's fucking dead. And it's cold when you ain't here on a Tuesday night. Anyway, come on, you Lions.
How you doing? My brother said I have to think about the voice note. We don't think before we do these voice notes, boys. I'll tell you what, absolutely brilliant second half. It really was. You know, we should have scored more than one. Deserved to win the game in the end. It's a funny one because it's like the first half was fucking awful. But it's like he watches teams all week and then goes out and plays a formation that just doesn't work in the first half, then changes it in the second half now. And we, it was almost like the leash was taken off. Not that we actually changed it, you know, it wasn't actually that positive formation. It was 5-2-3 in second half. But someone told him to fucking go and press him and stuff. And we were by far the better team in the second half. Should have scored more than one, really. Well deserved win in the end for the Lions. I'm relieved. But it's an interesting one because it's sort of different to Harris, where you'd sort of maybe go at it in the first half then be either behind. Whereas I think Rowett seems to keep it tight now till 0-0 at half time, gets booed at half time, then changes it and then we win the game. So I'll take that all day. Fucking well deserved from the Lions. Happy fucking days. Let's take it in a derby. Let's beat Derby on Saturday because, as we say, if we can go at teams in this league, we've got a chance in the top six. There's no doubt about it with these players, but Rowett's got to be on board. Come on, you lovely fucking Lions. Speak to you tomorrow, Nick. Cheers.
Hello, Nick. Another second half turnaround and more of, as you say, Millwall chaos, with a team and a crowd coming together. The changes Rowett made at half-time worked. It was more like three at the back because both Malone and Leonard were pushed further up the pitch. Mason Bennett was excellent. If only he could stay fit, what a difference he makes. We should have scored more than the one, but at least we were creating chances. Close call for a man in the match between Jed and Ryan Leonard, who linked up well, especially for the goal. I think Leonard should still be played in midfield with Danny Mack at right wing back. On to Saturday and Derby, and hopefully more of the same. Come on, you Lions.
Hi, Nick. It's Matt Richards calling after that. Well, that was a lot better, wasn't it? Blimey. Well, first half, well, started off okay, but it just sat back, didn't we? It's just so frustrating, and we just weren't getting anywhere. Then, that's my sat nav. but the second half, I mean, once Malone and Bennett just made such a difference. He's just so direct, and it's just, you know, he can hold the ball up, he gets stuck in, and it just kind of got the whole crowd going, got the whole team going, really. And then you kind of, Billy Mitchell was immense. He was just everywhere, and the goal was a great goal, brilliant move, brilliant ball by Jed, and nice ball in from Ryan Leonard. And yeah, Phoebe had to finish that, didn't he? I mean, he missed a few chances of Phoebe, but he was getting in there. We created so many chances. Leonard didn't score. I mean, Mason Bennett, he had a shot as well, and then of course like Jed when he was running through. I mean, it's, yeah, just really, really good. Amazing difference for second half, and let's just hope we can kind of keep it going, really. So yeah, come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Welcome back after the break, dear listeners. Big welcome now to show regular Mike Hayden. How you doing, Mike?
Hello, Nick. Hello, listeners. Yeah, very, very good, thanks. And yeah, pleased following that win in the end last night.
In the end, it was a game of two halves, to borrow the cliche, Mike. It was quite one of the poorest games in the first half I've seen in a long time, and yet transformed by the introduction of Mason Bennett and Scott Malone in the second half. I can't fathom some of these games out at the moment. You know, we Jekyll and Hyde. It's bipolar stuff, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's like you're in the South Bermondsey theme park. You know, one moment you're on the Millwall roller coaster, the other minute you're on the Gary Rowett teacups. And that's what it feels like at the moment. It's an odd one. Such really drab performances that we're still seeing in parts of the game. But now we are starting to see much improved performances in other parts of the game, which at least is positive. And I think, you know, also to be eighth in the league is kind of looking quite rosy from that perspective. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like you don't know whether you're coming or going. It's such a strange kind of thing. You don't know what to think sometimes.
No, I mean, I couldn't make head and the tail of the formation. I mean, the BBC is showing it as a 4-3-3 in the end last night. I must have given the listeners every variation. Apart from that one, strangely, I didn't think of 4-3-3. Ryan Leonard on the right side. I mean, some of the choices that Gary Rowett makes, trying to find the right word, they seem a little eccentric at times, Mike, when there are other more obvious candidates not featuring or sitting on the bench or just not involved. I don't know what to make of him as a manager, do you? I mean, I go around in circles with him. I don't see him as a tactical genius. I think he's a lucky manager, which is always a handy thing to have. And certainly he changed it at half-time last night and it worked well. But, you know, why did we have to endure that first half to get to the second, you know?
I don't know. You just question what they do all week to think that that was a good way to set up. Because we've played that, well, I don't know what it is anymore. It sounds like you're just talking out of a calculator all the time with these formations. But it's like it was sort of a 5-3-2, which clearly didn't work at all. It was a dreadful first half. And I think apart from that Jed Wallace free kick from about 30 yards, which was an unbelievable effort. Yeah. There was nothing really else to talk about. And again, you know, the Den crowd made their feelings known, sort of murmurings towards the end of the half and then obviously booed off again. So he had to change it. But you can't rely on the Den crowd to boo for you to then change it. Maybe you should try and start with the formation that worked. But, you know, but then, as I say, you've got to give some credit to him that he got it right in the end. And we saw a really good performance and a thoroughly deserved win, and certainly based off the second half. Your point on Lux, a good one, Nick, because think about the season as a whole. I mean, I think we deserve to win last night. I think we deserve to beat Stoke in the end. But the other wins, really, we have got pretty lucky, I think. And they could have gone either way. We may not have won those. So whether we're in a bit of a false position is arguable. We're eighth.
I mean, I do believe the league table doesn't lie, and you know, I know was it 15 or 16 games now? I haven't got the table, but anyway, with that number of games under your belt, you start to get a true reflection of who's who and where, you know, everyone is roughly speaking where they should be based on what they've done so far. And you know, I can't escape the fact that it's actually a decent squad by Millwall standards. You know, we can't compete with the big spenders of the division. But we do have some players of real talent. I think that's one of the things that kind of breaks your heart a little bit when you see these drab setups and these drab starts like we did last night. The players, you know, used in another way, used with different formations or by some method, they've got some energy in the second half. And suddenly we look like a different team. And, you know, both can't be true at the same time. We can't be dire and we can't be brilliant, can we, you know, at the same time. And yet somehow we're combining that into these performances. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, we had that early chance from Jed, which was a great free kick, dug from, you know, a long way out, and it was on target. Goalkeeper put it round. Apart from that, not an awful lot to report from the Mill perspective. There was one late chance in the half, I think it was the first half, where Reading seemed to shoot across the 6-yard box, and it looks a lot closer than it looked on the YouTube highlights reel that I just looked at in real time. I thought they'd missed a real sitter there. So, you know, we got to half time at 0-0, and I must admit I was dreading to think what might come in the second. Transformed. I mean, Mason Bennett and Scott Malone.
It's always a bold, it's definitely a bold, I don't think he's done that before, certainly made two substitutions at half time. So clearly he saw that it wasn't working and it did make the correct changes. So I think you've got to make credit for that. Yeah. Thought Reading were abysmal, and this seems to be absolutely awful. I mean, this seems to be a bit of a trend though. I mean, the league this year is so strange, Nick, because I mean, we're shit, but so many teams are a lot shitter than us, I think. And you know, Reading were only a couple of points away from us going into that game. You think about even Stoke were poor. Most of the teams that have come to the Den, apart from Fulham, who were obviously outstanding, I don't think anyone's been particularly good and played us off the park or looked really creative. You know, so, yeah, as you say, it's a strange one at the moment. But for poor first half, but he turned it around and I think, say, thoroughly deserved it in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the game in the second half was much more like, it's like going to Millwall, Mike, wasn't it? It was proper Millwall evening, you know. I mean, the as soon as the increased energy levels were visible in early in the second half, the crowd became a factor. You could hear it. Everyone could hear the fact that the crowd were involved. Tackles are being crunched in a way that we weren't in the first half. And the place responds to that. And, you know, I don't think you have to be any kind of football genius to know that if a club like Millwall, we can't compete financially, but we can compete with that 12th man called the Den. So if you give the crowd some... Not every game can be brilliant. Not every game can be electric. Sometimes you're going to get drab performances. But mostly if you can give the Den crowd hard tackling, good, fast, you know, wing play and get balls in from into the middle and show some vim and vigour. And, you know, it will respond. It becomes a factor, Mike. And I think that's what happened last night because the goal wasn't a long time coming, but it was advanced into the second half before we got the decisive break. And that was primarily the combination of team and fans working in tandem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a long time before the goal, you could see it coming. I kind of actually got a lot of optimism that we're going to win this. We're bound to score with this pressure. Yeah. We were causing them a lot of problems. As you say, Mason Bennett, I thought, was absolutely superb.
Yeah, I agree.
Certainly looks fit again now. And I think he's definitely in contention to start against the Derby following that. I thought he was man of the match. And yeah, Malone, again, has been coming back to fitness, who then put in a very strong performance. So hopefully he'll be sort of back in from the start against Derby as well. But yeah, I think it was just coming. But just to, because there's been a lot of times when you've been watching Rowett's sides this season where you don't have that hope. And no. I think that's very difficult as well. Where last night when we came out, you know, quite soon after that second half, I was like, right, we're on the front foot here. I think we're going to win this game. And you know, we did in the end and should have probably won by more than one goal, I think.
Yeah, there were opportunities that, I think Jed was slightly indulgent when there was a break.
Yeah.
I remember. I haven't got any notes, listeners. I'm doing this entirely from my ageing memory. And there was a break forwards, and I think the ball was really inside to find a Fobe, really. But yeah, it took it on, and there were other opportunities. I mean, I think I want to... There was a bit of a debate as to man of the match for the Lions last night, and I think it does come down to a choice between Ryan Leonard, who I thought... Given that it was, again, largely played out of his central position, which is where I think it will be his natural fit, Mike, but operating in a kind of a right-sided role, but first half and second half, really, he gave everything. I also like Billy Mitchell. I thought he did very well, especially in the second half. So I think I'd make my man of the match Ryan Leonard because he gave more consistency across the whole 90. But it was a, you know, tough call between the two. I don't know who you'd go for out of those two or another.
Well, yeah, either one of those or Mason Bennett, as I mentioned, I think, who for me changed the game from an attacking perspective. He just seemed everywhere across that front three, and he really made a difference, and Reading couldn't cope with him. But I agree, I think Billy had a really good performance, certainly in the second half. He certainly seems like more of an advanced midfielder than a defensive midfielder, I think. And so I think it suited him a bit more that when we started to go forward, because, you know, he's not necessarily a tough tackler, sort of Keith Dembeld-esque type player, really, or an Evans who just sits in. I think he prefers to go forward and try and create a little bit of the Ben Thompsons about him in that regard, you know, would actually look forward rather than back. And I think the second half, the way we played, suited Billy. And Leonard, yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, I don't know what he thinks about playing on this right side because it's not his natural position. And, you know, against Stoke, when he played in the middle, how good was he in that half? I think, you know,
those fantastic
marauding runs forward. But Leonard, you know, another assist for him, a great cross, obviously, from that ball from Jed and over to a Fobian, and it was a goal. But Leonard, again, I think last season before he got injured, I was saying I think he was a contender for player of the season. And I think we're certainly seeing that form. I would just love him to see him play in the central. position, because I think that is his best and most effective role. But for some reason, we've got a slight issue on the right back area at the moment, Rowett seems to think so.
Yeah, strange. I mean, the mind of the football manager is always a strange thing. I mean, I know we're fans, and I know we're not. Our livelihood doesn't depend on the outcome. And you know, it's easy to express heated opinion in the moment. But I mean, we did see Danny McNamara in the 87th minute replacing Afobe, who had given everything. So we haven't done away with him. I did fear for Danny's well-being, because he like Conor Mahoney had been disappeared, so Danny Mac seemed to be disappeared. I suppose, like any work environment, Mike, you get some people you like and some people you can work with well, and others you don't eat so easily click with them. And I wonder whether Gary Rowett just doesn't click with Danny Mac. You know, I can't see any adequate reason to be playing Ryan Leonard, who looked so good against Stoke and showed what he can do last night, out of position. When you've got a talented boy, maybe he needs to reel in some of his youthful energy. I don't know, however you want to put it. He maybe gets forward into positions you don't want to see him in. But then that's what you should be sorting out on the training ground. I can't believe that we can leave a talent like Danny Mac out of the team. Unless we use either Billy or Ryan as a right side. So I don't understand whether that's, you know, if you allow personality to get in the way of what should be cool decision making, then I don't know. It's
is worrying. That a rumor? Has there been some sort of
person? I don't know. I'm not trying to think of what else it could be. And I can't think of an adequate reason. I mean, Ballard was not involved last night.
The C word,
I guess. But anyway, so there was a good reason for that, and I don't have a problem with players not taking the field, but whether injured or not available. But I can't think of an adequate reason as to why we have the likes of Alex Pearce, who I don't have a problem with, but he doesn't inspire much, excitement. And yes, last night we did see Danny Mac late, but these kinds of things are oddities, and I can't account for them. And what you don't understand, you tend to, conspiracy theories arise, isn't it? You know, you start to look for systems where none exist. You know,
I think my theory behind it, as I thought about it as well.
It's all about theory, come on.
The conspiracy theory, yeah, we're going to be talking about UFOs in a minute. I don't think Rowett is a manager who favours youth players. No. I think that's one thing. And I think, yes, he has played Billy a bit more. Maybe we thought we'd have seen him a little bit more. McNamara's been in and out. Really, there's nobody else, and we've got some talented boys, I believe, sort of coming through. I don't think he's one that actually favours playing youth. And I think with Danny Mac, the way that he plays, and it's no fault of his own, he's a young player. He is slightly erratic at times, maybe gets out of position. But then, you know, he more than makes up for that with how good he is going forward and the effort that he shows, a proper Millwall-type player that we love. But then is that the recipe for a Rowett favourite? I would probably say no, because if he can trust Leonard or even, I don't know, maybe Bill, but, to hold position, use a bit more experience in that area and that kind of, well, that beigeness, I suppose, that sometimes you need from a defence. Maybe that's what he's kind of thinking. But, yeah, I don't think it's a big thing. I think we will see Danny continue to play, but he might just be in and out the side, and he does rotate a bit as well, I guess, Nick. You do see players drop in, drop out a bit. So, you know, hopefully it's nothing serious. I don't think it is, but I'd like to see him start. He should start every game, in my opinion, but maybe Rowett doesn't see it that way.
I suppose, you know, just I agree with what you've said, Mike, and I suppose to answer my own point, I think if you were going to be critical of Danny's game, I don't know how old he is. He's 19, 20. He's a young man. And young men get a bit overexcited at times, don't they? And maybe that's where Gary Rowett wants to see players more disciplined in their approach to the game plan than Danny Mac with his Millwall head on charging forwards where angels feared to tread, you know. So possibly it's that. I don't know. We won't comment on Conor Mahoney, who seems to have not been in favour at all. Yeah, so I mean, that sounds a bit churlish, listeners. I'm not complaining because it was a good win and I enjoyed the second half. And a bit like Stoke, Mike, it's quite refreshing to leave the den, realizing why you go to follow the Lions, because that's the kind of thing that you go there for, those big nights where you leave with a buzz. And it was nice to have it last night. It was nice against Stoke and terrific last night as well. So overall, good performance, and one that offers a bit of hope for Saturday against Derby.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the good thing is that we're starting to see that Millwall spirit now. I mean, I know we're not seeing it for 90 minutes, but I just don't think that's going to be a possibility under Gary Rowett. I think you are going to sometimes see times where we're not going to be that good or not very creative and sort of dig in a bit. But I suppose the positives are that we've seen some promising play, at least. Maybe not at Huddersfield. I only watched the first half. I couldn't watch the second. Apparently that was awful. But at home anyway, at least we have started to sort of see a bit more of the Millwall we know and love and want to see more of it, not for 90 minutes, but at least for portions of games. And when we have seen that, it's been enough to win the game. So I think that is positive for me. So I'm hoping that we continue that into Derby, who obviously have had, you know, their issues financially on minus points still, but they're no mugs.
Rooney, no, they're not.
He's done a good he's done a miracle actually to get as many points as they have with the squad they have as well. So, you know, I think they're probably going to come for a point. So what I would like to see is us to start the game well.
Yeah.
And sort of take, you know, try and get an early goal or something like that and actually go at them a little bit, because yeah, if we have that sort of first half again, you just give yourself less time to win the game.
Yeah.
Don't you? And I think we should win, but let's try and go at them in the first half, I would like to see.
Let's be positive. I agree everything that you just said there. I'm just, as you're speaking, I'm just looking at Reading. I mean, we're complaining about our manager listeners when we're sitting, you know, a couple of spaces off the top six. Reading boss, I don't think this was the champ, Veljko Paunovic. I think he was out with COVID, so I think it must be the second in command now, that we don't have a name for him. But if you want deluded comments, he said in the first half, Reading were fantastic. We didn't have a good start. Then we got, well, they're no shots on goal. I mean, I don't see how you can say they were fantastic. They just knocked the ball around in defence, you know.
Yeah, I think they had a couple of players. John Swift, their number 10, who I thought was a nice player, who got in the holes.
Yeah, the 14, which was
Ajaria or something. Again, they were really the only two talents that they had, I thought, which kind of, well, you know, flattered us to see a bit. They looked pretty nice on the ball, got in some okay areas, but never really caused us any problems. But I don't know what game he was watching, Nick, because if I were a Reading fan watching that, you know, that's the sort of game we're talking about, us getting annoyed about, you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
I would be like that for them, you know, it must be.
It's the cliche of that, being careful what you wish for. I mean, there are other managers out there and they say things like that when you're seeing the complete opposite in front of you. There we are. 1-0 win for the Lions. Good win. Good evening. Good night out in the end. Makes it all worthwhile, Mike. The cold evenings after work and, you know, travelling over and all the rest of it. And more of the same on Saturday would be most welcome against, are they bottom of the table, Derby? They are, aren't they? Because of the
still on minus deduction. Points.
Yeah.
I think they would be, I mean, I don't know, I'd have to look, the 13th, 14th or so, if they didn't have the points.
They've won 3, drawn 8, lost 4. So they've only been beaten 4 times. As you say, rightly, no mugs. That's a huge thank you to Mike Hayden, taking time out your day, mate. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you very much.
And let's hope for an exciting game again on Saturday. Until then, dear listeners, thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. Until Saturday, it's Arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.